We have to renounce the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor corruption, nor corrupting the word of God. Look at this. Look at this. People who have been so wounded and hurt that will not go back and let God reveal the hidden things that they're ashamed of. Those people will give in to craftiness. That's demonic witchcraft manipulation. And they will corrupt the word of God. Doesn't mean they're intending to. It means they've decided, I'm not going to see this word correctly anymore. I'm going to see it through the eyes of hiding this stuff. I'm going to buy lies and call it truth. I'm going to twist the way I see this and preach this. How many know it's all spiritual, right? It doesn't mean anybody intentionally, purposely wants to do that. But that's what happens when we sear our conscience. That's what happens when we will not allow God to take us to those places and bring truth and healing. And that's how people get religious spirit. That's how people get false spirituality. That's how people break off into cults. That's how all the crazy mess happens. Because people find something real in God, but then they won't go to those hard places with God. Can I tell you, every time you try to go to a hard place without God, it's impossible. The tormentor's going to torment you. The liar's going to lie to you. The enemy's going to attack you. And it's going to continue to cause you to run to alcohol, run to drugs, run to sex, run to video games, run to whatever you run to. But can I tell you, in Christ, he's bigger. In Christ, it's already been paid for. In Christ, just hide behind him. Don't even take his hand. Somebody just need to hide behind him. Come on, God, let's go. I can go. I'm not looking. It's too scary to look, but I trust you. Your blood covers this. Your blood has already forgiven me. Your blood will set me free. Your blood will demolish the stronghold of the enemy. You have already gone before me. You already went to hell for this. You already paid for this. You already have victory of this. Jesus, can I say this too? I was talking to somebody today, and I kept bringing up their parents, bringing up their parents, bringing up their parents. And what their parents did. I said, can I tell you something? Jesus never said, I came to undo the works of your parents. No, this is good. Jesus never said he came to undo the works of your husband or undo the works of your children or undo the works of your pastor or undo the works of that teacher or babysitter. Amen? He never came to undo the works of people. He came to undo the works of devils. So we have to recognize that the works are the works of devils, not the works of people. And you've got to recognize that about you. Those works that Jesus came to undo, if you keep identifying with those works, or if you keep hiding those works, or you keep pretending those works weren't there, or you keep being ashamed of those works, if you keep letting the other works of the enemy cover up the other works of the enemy, you are in a demonic spiral down. Amen? But when you recognize that Jesus came to undo, he didn't come to undo the works of, put your name there. Okay, I want us to do this. When I say, Jesus did not come to undo the works of, you put your name there, ready? 1, 2, 3. Jesus did not come to undo the works of Cindy. He came to undo the works of devils. He came and he undid the works of the enemy. Amen? You are not the enemy. Everything where shame is, everything that's hidden, everything that's caught up in that place, amen, are works of the enemy using you as his slave. And Jesus came to set the captive free while he's undoing the works of the enemy. If you continue to think that you and the enemy are the same, the enemy will continue to hold you and torment you. When you minister to someone, you have to help them separate themselves from the works of the enemy that they were a slave to. Amen? That's how you minister. That's how Jesus set people free. He came and he undid the works of the enemy. He broke their authority. He broke their power. He undid them. You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. He's undone the works of the enemy. And you will no longer be what? A slave to sin. Amen? I want you to see this. When God is trying to get you to deal with hidden things of shame, There could be things you're blind to. That's why one of the things Jesus came to do is open the eyes of the blind. It's very difficult. Because if you're blind, guess what? You don't see it. A really good prayer is to ask God and get ready when you ask him. And don't ask him pretending. Get like if you're ready, you know, brace yourself and say, okay, God, show me where I don't see right. Open my eyes where I'm blind. I promise you, he almost always will. And you'll always go, oh, I didn't know that. I didn't see that. I didn't see it that way. Okay. That's why it's called eyes of the blind. Amen. That's why you need a supernatural move of God to open the eyes where you're blind. Amen. And then it changes how you see things. And then when it changes how you see things, that's called the hidden things of shame, right? Then you can walk without condemnation and deal with it. Amen? Can we begin to be the people who deal with it in Christ? Amen. It's not hidden anymore. I'm separate from it. It's not my works, it's the devil works. I was a slave. I've been set free by the blood of Christ. I've been redeemed by the blood of Christ. I am no longer in agreement with an evil conscience. Amen. A seared conscience is when you have been so wounded and so hurt and so lied to and maybe operated in such evil things that you just somewhere along the line said, I am so bad, I can never, there's nothing I can do about this. And it was like, I can't handle it anymore. So Satan said, yep, you can't. And it's really almost like this. I kept thinking, how could somebody, let's say lie, directly lie, and know somehow they're lying, because lying is lying, and then act as if they never lied and keep the lie going. But the Lord said, because they have a seared conscience. It's basically, and seared conscience can be healed through repentance, amen? Thank God. It doesn't say it's unforgivable sin. But it's kind of like this. Let me do a demonstration. Let's say this is your thing, and you decide to try to get out of trouble, whatever the reason is, that you're going to lie about something. And you get even caught in the lie. But you begin, it's like a seared conscience comes in and says, nope, you can't go back. We can't deal with that lie. And it's like, it's closed, so there really was no lie. It's hard to understand, but this is how the enemy makes people lose their sound minds, right? It gets to a point where you no longer, you try to convince yourself of the lie, and you literally cannot go and deal with that lie. And you can't. And then people say, why do you keep lying? And you get rejected. And the truth is, you can't deal with that lie because you allowed the enemy to come in and sear your conscience and make conviction impossible. So you live your life acting as if you're convicted. You live your life pretending you're convicted. You live your life seeing what will make other people happy. But there's no real fruitfulness of a true conviction. Amen? The key is, I've got to ask God to heal my seared conscience. I've got to beg God to come in and heal me that I was wrong to think that I didn't want to be convicted. I was wrong to think that I couldn't be set free. I was wrong to believe that I have to do and say what the enemy says. I was wrong to play this game. Can I tell you, this game will take your sound mind. This game will lead you to completely lose your mind because you have lost your ability for God to convict you of sin. You've lost the ability for truth and light to get in. And you just go, and this tells you, and then you're in hidden shame, then you get into craftiness or manipulation and witchcraft. You can get into corrupting the word of God and religious spirit and using the word of God incorrectly. Do you see what I'm saying? It says all this. But by the revelation of the truth, commending yourselves to every conscience of men before God. If the gospel is being hidden, it has been hidden to those who are lost. It in whom, listen to this, the God of this age has blinded the thoughts of the unbelieving so that the brightness of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should not dawn on them. We do not proclaim ourselves, but Christ Jesus our Lord, and ourselves as slaves for the sake of Jesus. Because of this, God said, out of darkness light shall come, who shone in our hearts to give the brightness of the knowledge of the glory of God in the very face of Jesus Christ. For we have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the excellence of the power may be of God and not from us. In every way we're troubled, not being hemmed in, being perplexed, but not utterly at a loss, being persecuted, but not forsaken, thrown down, but not destroyed, always bearing about the dying of the Lord Jesus in our body so that the life of Christ may be revealed in our body. For we who live are always being delivered to death on account of Jesus, that the life of Jesus is revealed in our flesh. So that death indeed works in us, but life in you. He says, having the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we speak, knowing that he who raised up Lord Jesus will raise us up through Jesus and will present us with you. You can keep on, it's so good. God is saying, come on. Come on, trust in the resurrection power of Jesus. Trust in the light. No longer be afraid to face conviction. Conviction is light. Jesus has paid the penalty. He's paid the price. And many of you, and we'll just end with this tonight. I didn't get to the seared conscience part, but it's on there. Many of you just need to get to this place to say, God, and you might need to get with somebody else to help you or come to a small group to help you. You really may have to get to the place to say, I want to walk there. I don't want somebody to enable me not to see. I don't want somebody to make up justifications for me or reasons why. I don't need any more of this stuff. I want my conscience to be fully convicted by the Holy Spirit, and I want to be able to turn to God and say, forgive me. Forgive me. And then I want to see and feel his smile as he says, you are forgiven. And then I want to say, okay, let's undo these works. And then I want to be able to trust God through his anointing, through his power, through his word, to walk me back, not corrupting the word, to walk me back and help me to forgive the people who sinned against me, to help me to separate the people from their sin while I myself no longer separate myself from my sin. Seared conscience literally is a counterfeit. The Lord was showing me this. The seared conscience is a counterfeit. This is what goes into schizophrenia, psychotic episodes. Really strong mental illness is connected with people separating their sins, the sinful, evil things that they've done, into a separate being from themselves, which is delusional. And they can go back and forth between the delusion and themselves. Some people call it bipolar. I mean, there's different ways to see this that doctors try to see it. But the bottom line is everything Satan does is a counterfeit, right, of what God does. So God says we are to separate. Jesus took our sin, and our old man is to go in the grave, right? And our sin is to go to the cross. So we are to separate from our old man. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, right? But the counterfeit, what the enemy does is he takes and he says, look, you can't deal with the evil that you've done. You can't deal with the evil that's been done to you. You can't deal with all this hate and self-hate. You can't deal with this. So you know what? Let's just separate that from you. No cross, no Jesus, a total counter personality. I mean, this is if it gets really into strong loss of sound mind. A totally takeover of your personality by the enemy. In other words, you've chosen to separate and make yourself into two people. And this is cool to really bring healing to this, to minister to this. First of all, get all of it out of your own self, right? Because this could be heavy duty ministry. But you need to get all the craftiness out, deal with hidden shame, deal with corrupting the word of God, deal with all these things we just read, right? But when we get to that place and we're ministering to someone else, we need to actually have them embrace the part of them that they separated from in a counterfeit, and merge that part back into who they are so that they see themselves, that they're able to see, I need a savior. I need a savior. This is where people who continually repeat sin, have different personalities, are one person in front of some people and another person in front of others, they really operate in this. And so for them to begin to get free and for us to begin to get them free and for them to begin to get free on their own, they've got to recognize, I do this. God, forgive me. I want to own all the sin that I've given into and that I participate in. I want to own it so I can give it to you. I separated it from myself in a counterfeit. So some people it goes into second personalities. Some people it can go into gender gender identity issues. It can go into schizophrenia. It can go into extreme lying. It's all just different terminology for extreme amount of losing your sound mind. And it's going to have so much torment on it. The more you buy into the lies, the more you sear your conscience, the more you try to go with it, you're not helping anybody. You're just empowering. You're basically empowering them to let loose of the real them and give in to the false them. And they're so tired of being tormented between the two that without God coming in through love and saying, look, I'm going to make you whole. So let's bring all these pieces back into you. Let's bring all these pieces back into your old man, okay? But then let's crucify your old man, all of him. Because even the good is ugly. And the bad, without Christ, it's all ugly. Amen? Let's crucify him. And let's take all that sin that caused you to separate from who you really are, and let's give it to Jesus. And then you no longer live. Your flesh is, you've been crucified with Christ. You no longer live. And you know what? You're going to come up a new creation in Christ Jesus. And then the Holy Spirit can fill you. And then you can have this wholeness and this oneness that is awesome. But that can't happen for you with a seared conscience. You can try all you want. You can imitate what other people are doing. You can get saved 5,000 times. You will never be able to deal with a seared conscience until you recognize it, renounce it, really spend time with God and hate it, and then go and deal with all the hidden places. Because that spirit of craftiness and that perverting the word of God, man, that stuff gets to levels of such deception that you'll even fool yourself. I know it's time to get ready to go. Let me just find these two real fast. Hebrews 10:22, you can look up on your own, but it's talking about being sprinkled from an evil conscience. Where did I say seared conscience? I think it's in Timothy. It talks about people get who can teach falsely. 1 Timothy 4:2. Okay. Listen to this one too. We got to do this really quick. But the Spirit says that in the later times, that's us, some will actually depart from the faith. They will cleave to deceiving spirits and the teaching of demons. How many know we don't want to be those people? How many know we want God to sanctify our hearts? When people do this, they don't know it. Can we understand that? Can we not judge? Can we not think this couldn't happen to us? Could we not, you know, could we recognize, wow, he wouldn't put this in here if he wasn't warning us? Amen? He's not warning us about everybody else. He's warning us for us. This isn't, but the Spirit specifically says, so this is like big, in the latter times, some will depart from the true faith. They will cleave to deceiving spirits and the teaching of demons, in lying speakers, in hypocrisy, being seared in their own conscience. And then it goes on to say that all kinds of things they'll make up, you know, that you can do or can't do. But here's the key to this. It's going to be so deceptive in the latter times. People will actually walk away from true faith and cleave to deceiving spirits and teachings that they think are of God, but they're going to be teachings of demons. And you're going to see there's going to be lying speakers of hypocrisy being seared in their own conscience. In other words, they won't even know that they are teaching such lies. And so, but we can get free from this, amen? We cannot be the people that the enemy takes us away. How many knows that's why it's so awesome to let God heal our hearts? It's so awesome to have the awesome gift of sanctification and repentance, right? It's so awesome to find freedom. And we need to not judge, because I'm telling you, this kind of stuff is happening. And these are people who want to serve God. They want to please God. They just really have not dealt with these hidden things of shame. And people aren't necessarily helping them yet. And so as we're here to learn to minister, we need to seriously begin to help people deal with this stuff, starting with who? Ourselves. Starting with ourselves, always starting with ourselves. Always get the log out of your eye before you touch the splinter in someone else's. Always, because it's going to give you compassion. You're going to have the compassion to go, oh, yeah, God, I had some of this in me. Oh, I didn't see that. Oh, I didn't know that. And God's taking us deeper into revelation so that we can really, really move in apostolic authority and anointing to set people free. And the cool thing is, he's really teaching me. We're going to do some of this as we're coming up on these Friday teachings. But Tuesdays, we're going to teach a lot of the inner healing and deliverance kind of teaching. And so this is the stuff he's teaching me. Here's what I love. God never wastes your time. Now, we waste a lot of our own time. I do. But he never wastes your time. So whatever you're going through, would you please understand you're going through it because he wants to deal with you? He's not trying to deal with your husband and your children and your pastor and the other leaders in the church. He's really trying to deal with you. You're the only one he's actually trying to deal with in your life. And you're the only one who can choose to say yes. I can't say yes for my children. I can't say yes for my husband. I can't even say yes for you guys. I am only given the authority to say yes for myself. Amen? And I don't have to try to say yes for everybody. I don't have, nobody else has to say yes for me to be where God wants me to be. Amen? But the freer I get, and the purer my conscience gets, and the clearer I can see and hear God, the more he can use me and use you to go and set people free. And we need to quit fighting everything around us. When you have to fight everything around you and everyone around you, can I tell you something? It's the enemy deceiving you to keep you bound. And when we recognize that's what we're doing, then we can just sit down and say, okay, there's got to be something hidden. There's something I don't see. Go ahead, show me. But when he shows you, get ready, okay? He'll show you in love, but it's going to surprise you. But it's going to free you. Amen? So, Father, I thank you for what you're doing at Beauty for Ashes. I thank you for the people, God, that you're bringing. I thank you, Lord, tonight that you begin to purify our conscience, Lord. And, Father, that we really understand the difference between freedom and defiling our conscience, that we really understand the heart and the motive behind what we're doing. So Holy Spirit, I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for what you're doing in all of us. And I thank you for the cleansing in this house tonight and for the cleansing for those who are listening. And Lord, I just pray that you would give us such compassion to set those free who've been completely oppressed and crushed by the enemy. God, that you would give us authority, understanding, that you would teach each of us to be ministers of reconciliation to those who've completely lost connection with reality from whatever level of deception people are walking in. And God, that you would set us free first so that we could see to so gently help them get free. So God, we just thank you for your great mercy and your great grace. And Lord, we ask you to have your way in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.